By the time of the promised plague of hail, the people of Egypt had endured enough adversity to last several lifetimes. They had gone through plagues that had brought them frogs, flies, lice, and other things as well. And the judgments of God on the land, for that is what they were, had been increasing in severity. And the most recent had been the plague called the marine that had struck the livestock, and the plague of boils that had afflicted every Egyptian. So severe was that plague, as we can read in this chapter, that the magicians of Egypt could not appear in the presence of Moses and Aaron because of the boils. If you have ever suffered from a single boil, you can imagine what it must have been for the Egyptians to have their bodies covered with them. Such was the devastation that had affected the land of Egypt during this time, that Pharaoh's advisors would urge Pharaoh, as recorded in the following chapter, to give up the fight and to accede to the request by the children of Israel. They asked Pharaoh, "Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" If nothing else had been accomplished through the plagues, at least some of the Egyptians had come to the realization that Moses and Aaron could not be dismissed as religious crackpots. Everything they had predicted had come to pass. And so when Moses and Aaron announced the plague of the hail and warned the people to prepare for it, some, at least, did. Strikingly, the scriptures in our text provide us the expression that made the difference between those who did, as Moses and Aaron cautioned, and those who did not. Those who took the word of the Lord seriously, as Moses and Aaron had spoken it, took action to preserve the lives of their household members and their animals. Those who ignored that word or treated it as a thing of contempt learned very quickly that the rejection of the Lord's word leads to unmitigated disaster. It is a telling text in that it depicts the word of the Lord itself as the dividing line between those who are spared and those who are lost. To be sure, it was in Egypt a physical deliverance that was in view in this circumstance. But this text reminds us as well that there are irreversible consequences to the rejection of the Word of God. Up in the high country of our state, there are areas that people often pass in traveling that appear to be innocuous, that are labeled as divides, continental divides. And in those areas lie the sources of the little streams that become rivers on their way to other bodies of water at sea level. Those areas are the watersheds of our state, and they determine where rainwater will go when it falls. So our text presents to us the scenario that the Word of God and your response to it will determine in which direction your life goes. So this evening, I want you to consider with me the great theme arising from this text, the theme, the watershed of the Word. The watershed of the Word. If there's nothing else that you take away from considering these words this evening, you must take this message away. You must do something with the Word of the Lord. You must do something with the Word of the Lord. And let me add, you must do something right now. In this situation of which we have read, the people did not have the luxury of waiting to see what was going to happen. Either they would make preparations immediately for that which Moses and Aaron said was going to come, or they would not be able to withstand the onslaught of divine power. It is one of the most solemn and vivid points in the whole context that we can read in these chapters, and the contest between Pharaoh and the children of Israel. For Moses and Aaron came and said, "The Lord has spoken to us. Let the people go that we may serve him in the wilderness." And Pharaoh would say, "Who is the Lord? I don't know who the Lord is. I'm not going to let you go either." But by this time, even the people in the court of Pharaoh had learned that the speeches of Moses and Aaron carried with them the certainty of fulfillment. They had seen what had happened. They had seen and heard Pharaoh refuse to be governed by Moses and Aaron, and they had seen the disasters that followed that refusal. This time, for what appears to be the first time, there were some, at least, who would not temporize. They were not going to stand by and watch themselves become victims again. And here is the message of God to you this evening. Whatever you have done in the past with the Word of the Lord, God presents you tonight with a must-do situation. You dare not ignore His Word without suffering cataclysmic results. The Word of the Lord is speaking to you. And there are three things for us to observe in the text. First of all, the call for response. It was a very simple and direct warning from Moses and Aaron. By the next day, in the language of the scriptures, by tomorrow, about this time, by the next day, there would be a storm so ferocious, so terrible, that no one would ever have seen anything like it in the whole history of Egypt, which was, by this time, already well over 1,000 years. There was going to be a powerful hailstorm. Not only the intensity of the roar that would accompany the falling of the stones, and the lightning that would run along the ground, and the thunder that would pound across the land, would be impressive. But the size and weight of the hailstones would be so great as to cause serious damage to plants and death to animals and people. It was a warning that it was going to happen. Now, so far, everything that had happened in this period had been predicted by Moses and Aaron. And here they were now again before Pharaoh, and they were making another prediction by tomorrow about this time. They urged immediate response. Do you notice how it's put in the scriptures? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. Send therefore when? Later today? Early tomorrow morning? No, send therefore now. And gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. So here was the word that came from the Lord. Send it now. Get all your servants and all your family, get them all indoors. Get all your livestock, bring them in from the fields, get them under shelter. Do it now. Do it now. It was not a very complicated warning. I'm amused sometimes by warnings that governments send out now in advance of forecasted weather events that may or may not occur. So anxious are they to prevent any culpability in the event that there is some damage, that they warn of the most dire consequences, with the result that most people don't take the warnings seriously. This was a very plain warning. The word was very clear. Whatever you're going to do, do it now. That's the call for response. It is part of the urgency that we find again and again in the Bible. You don't have the luxury to wait around to make some determination. Whatever you're going to do in response to the Word of God, do it now. We turn to the New Testament, to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We find the inspired apostle emphasizing this very truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And verse 2. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So here's the message that comes to every soul tonight, with the warning of the impending judgment of God. What are you going to do about the warning? Do it now. Now is the time to call upon the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Now is the time to trust in Christ. That was the urgency that Moses and Aaron were impressing upon the people right now. Now, can you imagine the people there? The servants there? Boy, they've seen this scene playing out before, haven't they? Here are those same two men again, looking like they just walked in out of the desert somewhere. And here they are again before Pharaoh, all the finery of the Pharaoh's court on display, all the gold, all the crisp linen attire on the servants, all of that on display. And here are these two men looking like they've just been rolling around in the dirt. They come in, and here's the message. Their there's going to be a terrible storm. Do something about it now. They had heard this before. They remembered the warning about the frogs. And oh yeah, they remembered all the frogs in their houses. And they remembered after the plague was over having to collect all the carcasses of the frogs and how they stank throughout the whole land. So they knew that these men were not bluffing. They knew that there was an immediate response being demanded. And so it is every time the word of the Lord goes forth. It goes forth for a verdict. It demands a response. And it will have such a response. That's the impressive thing about our text this evening. There is going to be a response to the demand. And that brings me to the second aspect of our text, the options for response. Now and again, the Word of God is very easy to comprehend. The situation could not have been simpler. Either you were going to do what Moses and Aaron directed, or you were going to ignore what they said. And if you were to adopt the attitude that some people today want to adopt, and they say, well, you know, I'm not going to do either one. I'm just going to wait. You would be deciding as well. And there was one factor we find in the text that determined which option would be chosen. And that factor was whether or not an individual feared the word of the Lord. Here is the watershed. Notice how it is put in verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh. That individualizes it. He. Every single one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of the Lord. Here is the watershed. Here is what determines what option you're going to take. Do you fear the word of the Lord? And that means, do you believe it to be the word of the Lord? It's easy for us to hear the word of the Lord. But these people realized this was not a game. If you believe it is the word of the Lord, you will act accordingly. The man among the servants of Pharaoh who heard the word of the Lord and who believed it acted upon it. Can you see them there? The servants hearing this message again, what's going to happen tomorrow? And those who took it seriously, those who feared the word of the Lord, all of a sudden they were gone. Where did they go? They went to get word to others. They went to direct that their servants and their families and their animals would be brought under shelter. And you can be sure that every servant going to make such a directive was warning others who were not part of Pharaoh's court to do the same thing. Look, there's going to be a terrible storm. Get your animals under cover now. The greatest example in Scripture of this kind of a response can be found in the life of Noah. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 7. by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Notice the emphasis that he moved with fear. Now, in the case of Noah, of course, it was going to be quite a long time yet before the flood would come. But it was going to require that time to build the ark that Noah was directed to build. And even though the things of which God had spoken to him had never been seen, he feared the word of the Lord. And he set about doing what God said. He didn't wait around to see, is this really going to happen? He didn't take the attitude, well, let me check the weather forecast and we'll find out whether anything is like this is going to take place. He did not do that. He heard the word of God. And when the word of God came to him, he sprang into action. So there were those who said, we're not going to stand around and watch our servants and our families and our animals be killed. We are going to get them undercover. But the text says, he that was among the servants of Pharaoh, who feared the word of God, did so. But notice that there were others. In verse 21, he that regarded not the word of the Lord. What did he do? Nothing. He left his servants in the field. There was no message to the servants of those people. Look, you need to get undercover now. There was no message to the servants, get the animals undercover. There was no message like that that went forth. So in spite of all that had already happened, they sided with Pharaoh. They blew off that which Moses and Aaron had said. Ha! That was their attitude. They did not regard the word of the Lord. And so, they did nothing. And I say that to make this point. Here's the response. Here's the option that many choose. They do nothing. They hear the word of God. They hear the call of the word of God to respond. They hear the call for the verdict to believe. And they do nothing. It passes by and they do nothing. They don't take heed to it. And there are many today who adopt the attitude, the word of the Lord has no impact on me because I don't believe it. Here were people there who said, the word of the Lord, we don't believe it. Oh, if those other people want to get all hot and bothered and go running about and gather up all these things and get them all under shelter, more power to them, but we don't really have the time or the energy. So they think it will have no impact on them if they don't believe it, if they don't regard it. How wrong they are. How wrong these people were. Because there were those who left their servants and their families outside in the field and their livestock in the field. And what was the word of the Lord? all living creatures, whether people or animals that are left in the field, shall die. So what do you think happened? Well, that's the third thing in the text. The consequences of the response. Sure enough, the storm came. Just like Moses and Aaron said, the storm came. And nothing you have ever witnessed, and we have some spectacular storms this time of year in Arizona, as you well know if you've lived here for any length of time. And even these brethren visiting with us during the summer, they've had occasion to see some of these spectacular storms. But nothing you have ever witnessed could compare to the power of this storm. Sometimes you will hear reports. I've always wondered about, you know, how it was that they could measure it or how it even really resembled it. But they talk about softball-sized hail. You ever hear of that? In the Midwest, softball-sized hail. Well, let me tell you, if softball-sized hail comes down on your car, that's pretty much the end of your car. If it comes down on cornfields, that's pretty much the end of the corn. But I can tell you that the hail in this case went beyond those dimensions. It smashed everything that was outside. Even the trees were smashed. Was it basketball sized? I've heard sometimes accounts of hail basketball sized. I don't know. But it was the case that such was the weight and such was the force with which the stones fell, that if you were outside, the stone would hit you in the head, and that would be all. You would be dead. The animals would be dead. When that happened, those who had feared the word of the Lord and who had acted upon that word found themselves on the right side of the watershed of the word. They could take comfort even as the storm wreaked its havoc in the knowledge that all for which they were responsible was safe. But what of those who had not regarded the word of the Lord? What did they learn? All for which they were responsible was destroyed. All the people were killed. All the livestock were killed. The failure to regard the word of the Lord had not rendered the word of the Lord of any less effect. The hail still came. And you read the description. In verse 24, there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous. Further down in the chapter, we read in verse 29 or verse 28 that Pharaoh was saying, "Entreat the Lord that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail." So in addition to the hail and the sound it must have made when it was hitting the ground or the buildings, in addition to that, there was the thunder and the fire running along the ground, which is really a reference to lightning striking the ground and running along the ground, so that there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. And I say there's nothing that you have ever seen that could rival it. But the Lord said it would come, and it did. It did come. And when we look at the consequences, notice that the actions of those who regarded the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh, those actions resulted in the sparing of life. Whereas those who did not regard it, those who ignored it, those who did nothing, their actions led to the loss of life on a grand scale. There's a solemn message in the consequences of the response. How you respond to the word has a great deal to do with life. And it affects more than yours. That's the message. Not regarding the word of the Lord affected many more people than those servants who ignored the word of God. So it is with us. When you fear the word of the Lord, that will lead to actions that in turn deliver others from the judgment of God. But when you ignore the word of God, you not only doom yourself, but many others as well, to feel the fury of divine judgment. What a watershed then. And how it exhorts us tonight to take heed to the word of God in our own lives and to make sure that when we hear the word of the Lord, we fear it, we regard it, and we believe it, and we act upon it. Those who hear God's word in that way will never have to be urged to turn in faith to Jesus Christ. May God then help you tonight to hear the word, but to fear it and to act upon it for the sake of Christ and his glory.